from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org. The West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at WVAFLCIO.org.
At the legislature today, the Senate is considering Governor Tomlin's bill to tighten up how state government purchases goods and services. And the safety of our children is on the minds of the members of the House of Delegates today and is the subject of our guest interview tonight on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. While some of the focus in today's House floor session was on the well-being of children, last night, the Senate's water protection bill went through the first of three committees. As Aaron Payne reports, the Health and Human Resources Committee amended the bill to reflect recommendations from the public.
Nearly 4 hours to discuss Senate Bill 373. After hearing numerous testimonies from state officials and the public, the committee amended the bill in a manner that they feel best implements the recommendations. Among the amendments was a requirement that government officials must notify the public of an emergency within 30 minutes of a spill. Also, water treatment plants would be required to have either a second intake or water storage that must last between 3 and 5 days. Chairman Don Perdue says that the committee wanted to make sure since the community fulfilled their request to give recommendations, they fulfill their duty to serve their constituents.
The one thing that we were getting, from the community I think were very important for us to respond to, was the lack of communication and the fact that the message was not clear and was not made in a timely fashion. And also that the recommendations of the Chemical Safety Board needed to be incorporated into this bill in some way. And we've done what we can. Well, we actually have done that to a very great degree. So the public was responsive to our request for their input, and we hope that we were responsive to the degree that we could yesterday with that first committee in answering some of those requests.
The bill will now move to the Judiciary Committee. In today's floor session, the focus of one bill on third reading and two bills brought up during speeches was on protecting West Virginia's children. Delegate Tim Manchin explains that House Bill 4237 would protect the health of children from new products alternative to the traditional sources of tobacco.
In their never-ending quest to sate our desire for nicotine, the tobacco industry has come up with new products. One of those are electronic cigarettes and electronic cigars. They also have some dissolving products such as toothpicks and gum and lozenges. This bill simply makes it clear that it's illegal for them to sell those to minors.
The lead sponsor of the bill, Delegate Tiffany Lawrence, says that the bill will counter tobacco companies' attempts to market toward children.
As most of you know, West Virginia ranks highest in tobacco usage across the country and has one of the highest rates of usage among our young people. Although electronic cigarettes aren't traditional tobacco products as we think of them, the refillable cartridges that are presented on these devices can hold up to as much as much nicotine as two packs of cigarettes. And the marketers of these products directly target our children every single day by offering flavors that we've seen like bubblegum, chocolate, and cherry.
The bill passed unanimously and now moves on to the Senate. Delegate Mark Hunt addressed a different issue affecting children, bringing up two bills he has introduced that would protect children from sexual predators.
I've introduced two bills, House Bill 2828, House Bill 2446, that basically addresses a loophole that we have in our code. Right now, if a monster approaches a child for sex and that child in some way refuses, that child is able to get away from that monster, the only thing that we can charge that person under our law is solicitation. And most of the times, you can plea bargain that down. It's a misdemeanor offense. It's a $50 fine. You go away.
The bill would increase the offense to a felony. Delegate Hunt introduced similar bills in the previous session, but they did not go through, supposedly because increasing the penalty increases the cost. Delegate Kelly Sabonia rose in favor of the bill and, in regard to the cost, brought up a bill on first reading in the House that would increase a misdemeanor to a felony.
On first reading, there's a bill that came out of Judiciary that's, like I said, on first reading, that creates a felony for the theft of a traffic sign. And we felt like it was important to do that because of when someone steals a traffic sign, that the injury or death that it could create if someone runs a stop sign that was supposed to be there and isn't there. So what's more important than protecting our kids from sex offenders and child rapists? I would say that we need to do this and not adjourn until this bill is put on the agenda and sent over to the Senate and then to the governor for his signature.
Delegate Hunt's bills are currently in the Judiciary Committee. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
The legislative process is also just beginning for two bills in the Senate that were studied closely during interim meetings. Members will put the governor's purchasing reform bill to a vote tomorrow and take on prescription-only pseudoephedrine next week. Ashton Morrow reports.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 356 relating to purchasing reform. Second reading of the bill.
Any amendments to the bill?
No, sir.
Senate Bill 356 is the governor's bill on purchasing reform, which Senator Herb Snyder says came from months of interim study on the issue.
Not something we talk very much about, purchasing, because it's complicated, they're out of sight, out of mind, and that's a healthy thing that we, as legislators, took a look at how do you do your job, how does the state of West Virginia purchase items, and it's quite complex with a number, maybe two dozen different agencies doing their own purchasing.
State purchasing procedures came into the spotlight in 2012 when news reports disclosed the state had spent thousands of dollars from a federal grant on internet routers that were too big for their intended locations. They were to be used in public libraries or state police barracks and other public locations to extend internet usage into more rural areas. Snyder says it was those articles, the headlines on the front pages of newspapers, that gained his attention.
When purchasing ends up on the front page of the paper about something happened, we started investigating.
Months of investigation led to the bill with three basic provisions. First, the bill makes it clear that any federal grant money received by the state must be spent according to state purchasing laws through the competitive bidding process. Second, it makes clear that state agencies that do their own purchasing and do not use the central office in Charleston to buy supplies, agencies like the Division of Highways or state universities, must abide by state purchasing codes. And third, the bill provides the state secretary of administration can stop any public contract in the state he or she feels doesn't follow purchasing requirements.
In other words, there's no one, even if the purchasing division didn't handle it and they see that something hasn't been competitively bid or done wrong, someone can stop it. We don't have that in law right now.
The bill will be put to a vote in the Senate tomorrow. A bill making pseudoephedrine prescription only is making its way through both chambers, but the Senate once again appears to be taking the lead on the issue. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee debated the bill during a three-hour meeting yesterday. The bill's sponsor, Senator Greg Tucker, says only one amendment was offered to allow someone to possess up to 3.6 grams of the medication.
The problem with that is 90% of the people in the state of West Virginia don't buy or did not buy pseudoephedrine last year. That left 10% who did buy it. Of that 10% who did buy it, 70% bought 3.6 grams. So essentially what that did is it would make no change in the usage of pseudoephedrine. The people who use it illegally would still have that opportunity.
The amendment failed and the bill was passed through the committee unanimously, which Tucker says he was glad to see.
There were five meth lab busts in Nicholas County this week, my home county. This is very much needed. I regret that it has come to this, but there are no options. There are just no alternatives at this point.
The bill will be on first reading tomorrow with the ability to amend on the floor Monday. Immediately following the floor session, a subcommittee met to discuss Senate Bill 252, which would allow certain students to return to school upon the completion of juvenile drug court. The bill was passed by the Judiciary Committee last week, but some principals were concerned about putting kids back into the same schools. A subcommittee worked on the language, providing the county superintendent shall now be involved in placing a child back in school.
So at the end of the day, does the superintendent have some discretion?
The discretion is to put it any school in the district. The superintendent cannot say if the judge determines that the person has completed drug court and is appropriate to be back in school. The superintendent cannot refuse admission to school. He has to place him somewhere. It could be any school in the district, and the idea
is
that
it could be an alternative school.
It could be an alternative school, right. And the idea is that by consulting with the multidisciplinary team in the court, that the superintendent will have a greater picture of what all the kid has gone through in the drug court.
It doesn't have to be an alternative school. It could be a different school that's not an alternative setting, but more appropriate for the child. Sometimes a change of environment is better for the child.
Right.
Subcommittee members moved the bill to the full committee for its approval. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
In a moment, we'll discuss the legislative agenda of advocates who are looking out for the state's youngest citizens. First, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today. Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 560 to provide for the allocation of matching funds from future monies deposited into the West Virginia Research Trust Fund. The bill expands the eligible recipients of matching funds to include West Virginia State University. Senate Bill 566, to prevent an individual from being disqualified from receiving unemployment compensation benefits when their separation from employment is due to domestic violence, sexual offenses, or stalking by family or household members. And Senate Bill 567, to redesignate the Division of Corrections as the Department of Corrections and to provide that the department be supervised by a secretary-level administrator. Up for passage in the Senate tomorrow, Senate Bill 307, to authorize pre-trial release programs to evaluate and supervise persons on pre-trial release as part of a community corrections program. Senate Bill 356, the governor's bill to implement state purchasing reforms. Among the bills on second reading, Senate Bill 322, to allow the state to pay its employees every 2 weeks instead of twice per month. Senate Bill 384, to prohibit certain insurers from requiring persons covered under insurance contract to use a mail-order pharmacy. Senate Bill 422, to provide financial aid to students who are pursuing certain professional degrees which are not offered in the state to pursue those degrees in another state in return for a service commitment in West Virginia. And Senate Bill 434, to eliminate the revocation period for a DUI offender who is accepted into the Motor Vehicle Alcohol Test and Lock Program. Our Children, Our Future is the campaign to end child poverty, and the organization has a platform for this legislative session. Joining us to talk about it is Stephanie Tyree of the West Virginia Community Development Hub and Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Both are steering committee and members of the Our Children, Our Future campaign. Welcome back, Stephanie Tyree. We just had you here last year. You're becoming a regular. That's great. And Rick Wilson, too. Welcome back to the program. Appreciate you being here. First of all, Our Children, Our Future, the campaign to end child poverty. Can you kind of familiarize us with this organization and what it's doing?
Sure. The campaign to end child poverty is a statewide campaign. It has over 170 partners, of which the West Virginia Community Development Hub is one. And we have a robust steering committee of about 25 groups, which include groups like the Catholic Charities, KISRA, the Head Start Association, the Chamber of Commerce, the AFL-CIO, and others. And we are a unique campaign. We have a secret weapon. We're not just lobbyists or do-gooders. We are constituents and voters. So last week we had 812 kids and families come to the legislature, meet with their elected officials, and let them know what they cared about and to let them know that they're watching how they're voting. Mm-hmm. We believe that all politics is local. So while we bring kids and families to the legislature, we also have in-district forums during the session. So we have 17 in-district forums where constituents come, they talk about the policies that concern them, and they speak directly to their elected officials. We think of this as democracy in action. And Rick's been at a lot of these forums, and I think he's been successful.
What do you discuss at them, Rick?
Well, basically, we try to provide an opportunity for people to talk about local issues that they're concerned about, as well as statewide issues that we can work together on. And again, one thing that's different, I think, that's changed over the years is a lot of our communities are not as strong as they used to be. A lot of the organizations that once stood up for ordinary people are not as strong as they used to be. So there's a real need for a ground game in this state, just for ordinary people. And it seems like people were hungry for this, and people all over the state are getting involved. And it's something I haven't seen in 20 or more years of doing this kind of thing.
How does this mesh with the Senate Select Committee on Children and Poverty? Do you work with them, or, you know, do
closely.
You reach out to them? Do they reach out to you?
Yeah, we work very, very closely with that committee. And like Rick said, they're part of our larger ground game. So the Senate Select Committee has gone out to different communities around the state. They went to a dozen communities during the interim sessions. And through those meetings, community members were engaged in the policymaking process, got to speak directly to their legislators. Mm-hmm. We also brought over 250 people together in the summer for advocacy trainings. So learning how policy is made and starting to think about what policies impact their communities and what do they want to work on. Through that process, we had a voting process on policies that community constituents and community groups suggested. And now we're in the process of moving those policies through the legislature successfully, as we did last year.
All right. So these were voted on. This list was voted on, actually, by the people who attended your forums.
This is true.
Well, let's find out about some of them. Some of them are actually moving.
Yeah.
Minimum wage.
Minimum wage
just passed the House.
It cleared the House. There's a similar bill in the Senate, slightly different. So it's we're hoping they'll reconcile it. There's a possibility the Senate might even amend the bill to adjust it for inflation, which I think would be a good thing. That way, low-wage workers wouldn't be stuck for years until the political stars align. I think that'd be a great step forward. But anyway, that's exciting. We're happy about that.
Okay, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. This is a new concept for me. About accommodating pregnant women at work. You know, even if it's just providing a few more rest periods or a chair if they have to stand up. Did this come from a forum? Where did this particular piece of legislation come from?
This was one, I think, that was voted on. Any group that's involved can push forward issues. And we had an annual meeting. We had voting online and by telephone. Again, over 1,000 people voted on the issues, and that made it to the top 10. And I think it makes so much sense that it sailed through the House without too much of a wave, and I'm fairly confident it'll do pretty well in the Senate.
All right. Physical Activity and Recess. Senator Unger has introduced the Move to Improve Act. Would this help your number four on your list, Physical Activity and Recess, Move to Improve?
Well, I think it would. One thing that happened last year, we passed the Feed to Achieve Act, which addressed child nutrition, which is important in combating obesity, improving performance and all that. But as someone pointed out, if kids eat better but don't move more, we haven't really solved the whole problem. And so this has the support of the State Board of Education, of both teachers' organizations, of religious groups, of labor unions. It's an interesting thing. Yeah. Dr. Jamie Jeffers is a force to be reckoned with in pushing this through. So it's cleared two committees, the Child Poverty Committee. It has also cleared the Health Committee. It's now in the Senate Education Committee, and we're hoping it'll go through there and sail through.
All right. Some things that stop suddenly. SNAP limits to improve oral health. This is a bill by Senator Stallings that required the Department of Health and Human Resources to reach out to the federal government and say, is it okay if we curtail candy, soda, sugary foods from SNAP benefits? This was your bill. This is the bill that you folks wanted.
It was one that was voted upon, that went through our process, and it rose to our top 10. The idea was it would improve oral health and help combat obesity. I think there was considerable possible pushback from industry groups, but they did pass a resolution, and they might actually study it during the interims, too. So, I mean,
all right. Okay. What was substance abuse? A three-part plan.
Well, of those, one of them has legs. I believe the bill that you just discussed previously that would
prescription-only pseudoephedrine.
Right. That one seems to be actually moving. It's, you know, going through the Senate, and we hope it'll do well in the House. The other ones, I don't know that we have any concrete motion. Obviously, substance abuse is a huge problem. I think one thing we did last year is going to help with that, and that's basically Medicaid expansion and justice reinvestment. We're going to try to do diversion and move toward drug courts and treatment. So I'm hoping that some of those things are going to help with this as well.
And the substance abuse issue, that was an interesting way that that came about. It was the partnership of African American churches and the United Way that came together to think about how can we really address substance abuse substantively mm-hmm. in West Virginia. And I thought that was a really successful partnership, and obviously there are major pieces that we'll have to break off. So.
It is a tight budget, and the governor has made budget cuts, state agency budget cuts. Many of them serve children and their families. So what's the news there?
Okay.
Exactly what's been cut and what's in danger?
Okay, the specific cuts, several programs that don't amount to much in terms of the overall state budget, but would have a huge impact on these programs themselves that are funded at a fairly marginal level. The Children's Trust Fund, which does child abuse prevention, was cut by about 26%. Is proposed to be cut. In-home family education, you know, the governor had a task force looking at early childhood education this year. We were hoping there'd be a big plan to expand it. It looks like it's been slated for a 25% cut in home visitation programs, which are shown to be really effective. Domestic violence programs have been cut. Mm-hmm. Legal programs, child advocacy, and the family resource networks and family resource centers. And again, all together, we're talking about $980,000 for all these, which in terms of the overall state budget is not a huge amount. We're hopeful that between the House and Senate Finance Committees we can find some way to restore this funding.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next year move on to expand early childhood.
Oh, okay. One thing not on the list is something that Delegate Hunt spoke to today on the floor, and that is child predators and raising that penalty for preying on a child. It's not on this list. Probably it wasn't discussed at forums so that it couldn't be, voted on. Is that something that you folks have to be interested in, right?
Well, obviously we're opposed to people preying on our children. This is just something we haven't really looked at.
Raising the penalty for that.
Right.
Yeah. You've got a good coalition, and obviously you're very, very proud of it. Do you feel you're making progress, even if you don't get the entire legislative agenda, which you probably won't? Do you feel you're making progress to end child poverty?
Absolutely. Last year, we were able to succeed, I think, on all of our top five issues. I think that we'll be equally successful this year. I've seen in the past year, we've doubled the number of people engaged in the campaign mm-hmm. as partners, as families, and as kids. And I think that there's a real hunger for community members to get engaged in the decision making that affects their lives.
Right.
And this creates that pathway.
We're going to have to leave it there. Very interesting, and good luck. Thank you very, very much. And here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today. Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 4507, providing that the identity of a lottery winner may not be publicly disclosed without the permission of the winner. House Bill 4510, establishing a Bill of Rights for children in foster care. House Bill 4515, to give the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services a process for preventing and mitigating catastrophes involving toxic substances and providing the division with adjudicatory powers for handling violations. And House Bill 4524, to create within the state police the methamphetamine registry to track those caught purchasing cold relief medicine for illicit purposes and to create a penalty for smurfing or purchasing these drugs on behalf of methamphetamine producers. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 4188, to update the authority and responsibility of the Center on Nursing and to establish a nursing scholarship program. House Bill 4301, to allow reciprocal use of hunting and fishing licenses with the Commonwealth of Kentucky on the Big Sandy and Tug Fork Rivers. House Bill 4343, to encourage economic development and job creation by creating the West Virginia Project Launchpad Act. House Bill 4394 to improve the process for employing highly qualified professional personnel in public schools. And House Bill 4402 to provide a procedure for the conditional discharge for first offense underage purchase, consumption, sale, service, or possession of alcoholic liquor. Among the bills on second reading in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2895 to require the POW MIA flag to be displayed at county courthouses. House Bill 4309 to permit a person to keep a firearm in his or her motor vehicle upon the grounds of the state capitol complex if the vehicle is locked and the firearm is out of normal view. House Bill 4371, making the theft of a traffic sign or traffic signal a felony. And House Bill 4454 to permit the sale of wine and other legal beverages by private clubs after 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. And this has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, Ashton Mara is your host for our ongoing discussions with our colleagues from the Capitol Press Corps. We welcome your comments. You can email us at feedback@wvpublic.org, follow us on Twitter at WV Public News, and find us on Facebook. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today provided by the High Technology Foundation. Headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org. And by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers, online at wvaflcio.org.